This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1033, and it's a Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, Derek Miner.
What's happening?
And from Austin, Texas, author, speaker, podcaster, mogul, Jamie Ivey.
Hey, guys.
Hey. We have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to one of our favorite up-and-coming worship groups, Red Rocks Worship. I feel like, I'm just going to put it out there, I feel like we've been oversaturated with just a handful of worship groups for the last five years, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm ready, like, for the new wave, and there's a new wave coming, and I'm really excited about it, and Red Rocks is part of that, so we're excited
to have them on the show today. I wish there was a new wave of new wave worship. Like, it was like wave, in like, the style.
Like, Aha, and Take On Me, and like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because new wave was really an interesting moment, because it's basically like electronic yacht rock, right? Oh, if I had to describe new wave, it's like, strip away the, you know, the saxophones and all that, that like the Simon and Garfunkel stuff, and just lean fully into a little, like, super mellow EDM. But you give it that yacht rock vibe. That's new wave. I would love to hear the worship take on that. Just something while you're you know, creek crawling down in the boat, and you can just crank it on Sunday morning. You know,
new wave sounds like a church too. Like, someone's gonna be like, guys, the next church in your area, New Wave Christian Fellowship. Doesn't that sound like a church name too?
100%. Oh my God. You just start. Hey, look, somebody's listening to this pod right now and they're planting a church, and they're like,
they've been praying for
everything.
A word. They've been praying for
scratch
a word from the Lord.
Everything right now. Hey. We were going to be Fellowship Bible Church, the 150th one. No, we are New Wave.
And when you walk in, the pastor has the flock of seagulls, big 80s hair, and the entire worship team is New Wave.
And everybody has skinny jeans. Yeah,
I can see the sign outside of the new church in town called New Wave Christian Fellowship. It's bright orange, and it has like a curved font with the N and W. And when you're driving by, you're like, that is either like some sort of software company that has set up like a satellite brand, like Gateway. Yeah. Gateway could be a software company. It could be the new church in town, and the logo isn't helping me determine which one is which.
Every city has a Gateway church, though. We have it here in Austin. I know there's a big Gateway in Dallas. That is a good church name. Gateway to Jesus.
Yeah, that's dope.
Is it a good church name?
Yeah, Gateway.
Like what? What? Like you come here and we'll open the gate. We're going to open the gate so you can get into heaven?
Not to heaven, Cameron.
What?
To walking out your Christian faith.
Gateway to walking out your Christian faith, man.
Like, it's a launching pad. It's a starting point.
This is the starting point of you walking down the narrow road.
I saw it as the heaven bouncers, and there's one narrow door to heaven. You got to come to this church to get through that gateway to eternal life.
If I was like a graphics designer and had like for sale, I'd be like, Gateway, this is Christian Fellowship / Enterprise HR Solutions.
Like, all right, so check this out. This is terrible, because I just thought about this when you said terrible slogans and names or whatever.
Yeah.
But literally, our church, I grew up Pentecostal, small town Pentecostal, and our church literally had a slogan. This is the working church. The lazy church is down the street.
Wow. Coming hard for their neighbor.
That's busting on everybody that don't go there.
And literally, when they said this was the working church, we was literally there. 7 days a week, we was there, eight of them. We was there, eight of them for sure.
If the church, if one church said, not gonna lie, this is the lazy church, I'm gonna be like, that's kind of what I'm looking for. I'm more of like, lay me down by still waters, let me chill out for a little bit. Let me recharge the batteries.
We were selling fish sandwiches on Saturdays, we had choir rehearsal on Friday. I mean, y'all have heard this story. I'm not a football fan to this day because I never got to watch football on Sunday.
All right. Y'all, you know about ChatGPT and all the AI stuff, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just opened the window. I went over there and I said, write 10 taglines for New Wave Church.
Okay. Let's get it.
Join the new wave of worship, a place to connect with God and others. Where the spirit of New Wave is alive, come catch the new wave at church. Feeling left out? Join the new wave. Experience a fresh wave of worship. Hey, they said that twice. Recharge with the new wave. Get ready to ride the new wave. That's pretty good.
I like
believe
that.
In the new wave. Come feel the power of the new wave. Thank you, AI. We are going to launch a church.
I'm all about it.
And let's do it tomorrow.
I like recharge with the new wave because, again, if you're advertising lazy church or working church, I'm going lazy 100 because it's Sabbath. Okay. Like I got a lot of work I got to do most of my life. Right. Just I want one that says this church is pretty chill. Not going to lie.
Uh-oh, Cameron.
I just wrote, write 10 taglines for Gateway Church. Okay.
Okay.
Number one, uniting lives with hope and purpose. It's lovely. Number two, discovering faith in the heart of Texas.
There's a huge Gateway Church in Dallas, I think. Am I right, Jason?
I know, but AI knows that.
Oh, it knows everything.
Encountering God and growing together, connecting people to a life-changing faith, experiencing life in community, a place to belong and grow in faith, turning faith into action where the journey of faith begins, loving God and serving others, following Jesus and transforming lives. AI is a better copywriter than me. That is
this
fantastic.
AI is crazy. We played around with it last night, and Aaron, my husband, typed in like write a bio for Jamie Ivey. It was the best bio I've ever had in my entire life. I was like, copy and paste this.
Hey, you know what I wrote? I said write a dating app bio for Cameron Strang, and it nailed it. It knew I loved to travel and make memories that I found it relevant. It knew all this stuff. It's crazy.
It had all of my books listed. Everything. Wow. I was like, this is phenomenal.
Yeah.
While we're talking, this isn't on the AI kick, but I feel like Cornerstone and Gateway are our generation's like new life or Bible fellowship or open Bible. Like the 90s were all about life and Bible in a church name. I feel like our generation's more, we got the Cornerstones and Gateways, like stuff that could easily be, like I said, some sort of enterprise software solution if it wasn't a church. You know what I mean?
You know what's funny about my church is called the Austin Stone Community Church. And a lot of people say like, hey, do you go to the Stone? And people will say like, they will call people that go to Austin Stone like stoners. Like they go to the Stone like stoners. And I think that's so funny.
I like it. Again, if you're trying to get people in the door.
Everyone's welcome, guys.
Yo, chat GPT just blew my bio is terrible.
Oh,
listen, I just wrote, I'll tell you mine, then you tell me yours. I wrote write a dating app profile for Cameron Strang. Hi, I'm Cameron. I'm a passionate entrepreneur, music enthusiast, and founder of Relevant Magazine. How did it know that? There's other Cameron Strangs. It says, I'm an avid reader, and I'm always looking for a great book recommendation. I also love playing guitar, hiking, and exploring new places. That is not true. None of that is true. I'm looking for someone who shares some of my interests, is intelligent and funny, and who's ready to explore the world with me. I'm looking for a relationship that's based on respect, honesty, and faith. If you're looking for someone who's driven and adventurous, then I'm the one for you. Let's get to know each other and see what happens. That's what it wrote. I've never been on a dating app, so I don't know if that's what they're like, but you know, that's hilarious to me. That's crazy. All right, Derek, what's your bio?
It's terrible, but I just asked him to write a dating thing, and it's pretty good. So here, let's try that one. All right. So I am a Christian hip-hop artist, songwriter, and record producer who is passionate about using my platform to spread positivity inspiration through music. That would probably get me skipped over a lot. But anyway, let's keep going. In my free time, I enjoy staying active, exploring new places, and trying new foods. I am looking for someone who shares my value and is open to adventures and new experiences together. Bonus points if you can keep up with my love for music and singing along to my songs at concerts. Let's connect to see where things go.
Wow. Yo,
I won't get one date with that bio.
How did it know that you like food, though? How did it know you were a foodie? That's insane.
That's all it knows. But outside of that, it's like, hey, girls, if you love exploring and food, come hang with me. And also, if you could sing my songs with me at my concerts, that's great. Like, bro, ChatGPT, I quit. Wrong fire. I guess.
I think ChatGPT extracted that I love reading because I started a publishing company. But I, you know, so I can get why it thought that. But anyway, that's crazy. All right. So if you're launching New Wave Church, Cornerstone Church, or Gateway Church, go to ChatGPT and it's going to give you some good taglines.
Dude, I just had a great idea.
What?
Well, I say that if people are going to be mad that I'm even suggesting it. But what if, why stop there? Why stop with the church name and the slogan? Yeah. Why not just get ChatGPT to do the sermons too? And just say, hey, write me a sermon on love and conflict. And, but that's the selling point for the church.
But you have to go further. You have to give it more direction. You go a 3-point sermon with a funny story to start out with in the style of Stephen Furtick.
Yep.
Bah, 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 and it nails
that,
it.
But what I'm saying is that's the whole selling point for the church.
And I could even go, you can say a metaphor around a rock. And it'll literally do a whole story about a rock and then extract it scripturally. It's unbelievable.
It's, and kind of scary. But
again, for a lazy, it's not just for lazy parishioners. It's for lazy pastors. We don't even write the sermons here at this church. Have you seen that
people are already like developing softwares to detect if it's a human written copy or AI written copy?
Yeah.
Because it's so similar now. Yeah. It's going to be a problem for term papers. Education is about to change.
Magazine articles. Yeah. that writer turned this around really quick. Curiously quick. Yeah.
Dude, I asked it to pitch me 10 article ideas for Relevant Magazine. And 9 of them we would have run. It's insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right, y'all. Here we go. This is what takes the cake. I said, write me a 3-point sermon on why God wants us to brush our teeth. You ready?
Hit me.
Yeah, let's hear it.
This is the first sermon at New Wave. So taking care of our bodies is a way to honor God. As Christians, we believe that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And as such, we should take care of ourselves in a way that honors God. Caring for our oral health by brushing our teeth is one way to show respect for the gift of our bodies and treat them with dignity and respect that God desires for us. God wants us to be healthy. God cares about our well-being and wants us to be healthy, both physically and spiritually. Point 3, God wants us to have a positive impact on others. God wants us to be a positive influence on those around us, and good oral hygiene is one way to do that. Bad breath and dental issues can be off-putting to others, but taking care of our teeth helps us present ourselves in a more positive and approachable way.
Not going to lie, I never thought about it.
If the band will join me, if everybody will just shut your eyes for just a moment.
Yo, just imagine the every organ head playing behind that.
Every head bowed.
People coming up. My breath stank. I'm sorry, God. Please.
If you need to repent from gingivitis, come forward now.
Yeah. Can I get the worship team to come back on the stage? Just play something soft in the background for me. We have, ladies and gentlemen, we have donated to us several canisters of Listerine. And
they do communion with Listerine now.
Oh my gosh. That's wrong.
Your teeth will be white as snow. We'll wash your sins. Your sins and your teeth will be washed white as snow. That is our promise. Jamie, I can see you literally cringing.
Write 10 album title ideas for Derek Minor's next album. The Rise of a King. I like that. Okay. Undeniable Talent. Redefining greatness, the pursuit of perfection, grinding for glory, unstoppable rhymes, higher power, unbreakable flow, beyond the limits, or a new level of excellence.
I wouldn't listen to any of those.
Any of those.
Hey, give me Cameron, give us 5 possibilities for Jamie's next book.
Okay. 5
titles? Yep.
For Jamie Ivey.
5 ideas for Jamie Ivey's next book.
Good, I need it. Bring it on.
Number 1, how to tap into your inner strength and find your voice. Number 2, a collection of inspirational stories showcasing female empowerment.
Okay.
Number 3, a guide to building self-confidence and overcoming self-doubt.
These are great subtitles. Number 4, yeah.
Well, no, these are topics. These are ideas.
Topics. What I should write about next.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Exploring life's challenges and triumphs through storytelling, or a guide to balancing faith, family, and career.
That is so crazy because I talk about all of those things.
Well, it knows that. It watches you while you're sleeping. Yeah. It knows when you're awake. It knows if you've been bad or good.
Golly. Scary. It's like Santa Claus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I feel like any information on the internet about me is so heavily lean towards Nickelback that I think any bio, people would just think I'm just the most random weirdo on the internet. Like, I feel like my results will be skewed forever in the AI world.
Hold on.
Maybe it's fortunately. Maybe people can't, you know, it's a good disguise.
I mean, I just asked something about you and Nickelback's not coming up. I asked, write five ideas for Jesse Carey's next podcast.
Okay.
So these are ideas, not names. Interviews with experts in the field of mental health. You invite guests to discuss their experience and research on how to best support and care for individuals with mental health issues. Number
fun
two,
therapy with Mike Foster.
Exploring the impact of technology on mental health. Exploring the importance of self-care. Number four, mental health resources. Or number five, exploring the impact of social media on mental health. Jesse, it thinks that you're struggling with mental health. So well,
obviously it's like this guy.
This guy submitted himself to Nickelback and Nicolas Cage movies. He's got mental health issues.
I think they got the wrong Jesse. I think honestly it's mixed up, but you know, anyway. I'm not opposed to the mental health resource world.
Yeah, it thinks that you need to double down on that. All right. Well, we have a great show in store for you. Red Rocks, I told you, is coming up. We also have your feedback at the end of the show, but stay tuned. Right now, up next, Emily joins us for Relevant Buzz. Listening to J.W. Francis. The song is Going Home to a Party.
The wait is officially over. Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, is out now. Following up on her Grammy-nominated debut album, My Jesus, her sophomore project is jam-packed with 16 songs and features guest artists including Chris Tomlin, Lainey Wilson, and Jordan Davis. Blending her love for God with her roots in all things country, Ann is a true rebel in modern music. Be sure to check out Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, available now everywhere you listen to music.
Okay, it's time for
Relevant Buzz.
Please welcome to the show our very own downtown Emily Brown to tell us what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture this week. Hey, Emily.
Hey, y'all.
I want everybody to note, tomorrow, you're moving to Nashville.
Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home.
Oh, big day.
Know what I'm saying?
Well, technically, I'm halfway moving to Nashville tomorrow. It's a long drive, so my sweet family is coming with me, and I convinced them to break it up into 2 days so that we wouldn't have to drive a million hours.
I love that.
Because we kind of need time.
How many total hours are we talking here?
So here's the thing that I didn't plan well. All of my stuff is 3 hours away from where we currently are in Nacogdoches, because it was cheaper to rent a storage unit there. So we got to drive that's 3 hours there. And then from there, it's about 11 hours to Nashville.
And then you have to lift a lot of furniture and boxes.
Yes. Yeah. I'm trying not to think about that part too much, but you know, it's fine. Derek, if you're not doing anything Friday afternoon,
nope.
Come
he's
on
in his
over.
30s.
No.
You're too old at that point to.
Yeah.
Your back can't take it.
Once you hit 30,
how old are your kids? Can they lift heavy things?
do you ever notice, like in a moving day, you start off and everyone's taking great, great care for every piece of furniture, you know, like as if we're moving ancient works of from antiquities, you know, that if we just graze a corner, it could just shatter and turn to dust in our hands. Mm-hmm. By the end of the day, you're like pushing a piano down the stairs because everyone's over it. It's like, I'll just get a new one. Don't worry about
just
it.
Just throwing
get
it in there, tossing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I expect the day to go.
Jesse, a dating app bio for former Relevant Magazine editor, Jesse Carey.
Okay.
Hey there, I'm Jesse, an editor and writer who's passionate about music, culture, and making a difference in the world. I'm an avid reader and traveler, and I'm always looking for ways to explore new cultures and connect with new people. I'm looking for someone who's open-minded, kind, and loves to laugh. Let's chat and see if we make a connection.
That sounds like a serial killer. He's baiting someone in. That sounds like a lure. A bait.
To get a swipe left.
That is awesome.
Yeah. That person's definitely flagged instantly. That this person may be a serial killer stalking, dating, Yeah.
All right. Emily, what's going on this week?
Well, speaking of weird technology, a team of scientists have decided to basically take a sci-fi plot and make it reality by creating a robot with consciousness.
Like they're actively working on it right now.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Well, how do they define consciousness?
So that is the tricky part, is consciousness already is difficult to define. Their definition is the ability to imagine yourself in the future. So what they're hoping to do is create an adaptable machine that can not only learn and correct itself, but also imagine a future that would improve our own life.
Like, oh, if I tried this, it might turn out that way, sort of a thing.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
He said, like, I read the piece that we posted, and the scientist who's working on this right now, he's like, 5 years ago, we weren't even thinking about this. This was taboo. And he's like, now we're actively working on it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going so fast. And he said, you know, it's not like, he's like, this is bigger than finding the cure for cancer, because if we can create an AI with consciousness, that will find the cure for cancer. And so it's like, and then everything else. So he's envisioning it as, this is going to fix humanity, not the Terminator, where it becomes self-aware and turns on us.
Well, I think in the Terminator, they thought it was going to fix humanity too.
Right.
It didn't really work out too good for them.
But I mean, how is this fundamentally all that different than what we're just doing with ChatGPT? If you ask ChatGPT,
it's not self-aware. It's not thinking like, here's what I want you to do with your life. Here's what, it's not making decisions. It's not figuring things out. It's just taking a database of information that we put into it. And then it's like, you know, using that to create new content. I mean, it's not reacting on the fly.
Yeah. I feel like the ChatGPT, that's like simulating stuff, but with a robot with consciousness, that would truly be like creating something new.
Like, so the differentiating factor is its ability to make decisions.
Yeah, and envision a different future and a future for itself. That's how the scientist defines consciousness. Like, it's deciding what it wants, not what it was told to do.
I think it just varies on how you're defining consciousness. Because that's not what I would have thought would have been. That's not would have been how I would have defined it.
Right.
I would have been like, you're aware of everything happening around you. You know your past, present, and future. I don't know. So it feels weird to me.
Well, the future component is what he's saying is the difference. That all AI is based on past and present, and like using that data to make the next thing. But it's talking about possibilities, and that's different than programmed data. But
And there's obviously a lot of like ethical questions that are going to have to be answered. Mostly, I mean, you know, what is there, should we put limits on it? And if there are, you know, who would monitor that? So there's a lot to figure out, but it is, you know, it is intense to know that this is something that could very much become a reality within the next few years or few decades even.
He was implying it's going to be quick. All right, what else is going on?
Okay, first off, I want to know, how old was everyone when they like officially moved out of your parents' house?
18. College.
Yeah, I was 18. Yeah, 18.
I would like to report that I moved out officially when I got married at 23. I left and came back, guys. I left and came back.
Yeah,
okay?
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well,
nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
It was like 19, I think.
19, okay.
Yeah, okay. It's freshman year of college.
Yeah.
There you go.
18, 19.
I would say I officially moved out probably when I was like 21, 22, when I graduated college. But I arguably have moved back in within the last year because I've been using my parents' place as a home base.
It's a home base, yeah.
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 And apparently that is really part of a trend. A new report found that nearly half of Americans age 18 to 29 live with their parents. So a record 48% of young adults are living at home with their parents. That peaked in 2020 with the pandemic.
Right.
But it's been 3 years.
That was my first thought.
It's been 3 years and a lot of them have not moved out yet. They're still living with their parents.
The parents are saying the same thing. It's been 3 years, you guys. Why are you still here?
But think about it. There's no incentive for them to move out. They're saving so much money. Right. And like,
yeah.
Which think about too, for Gen Z, the daunting part is like the inaffordability of like buying a house, starting a company, the things that like were different 30 years ago. So maybe they need these extra 3, 4, 5 years to save up what we could have saved up in 6 months, a couple decades ago, but it's going to take them so much longer just to get to that first step, you know?
So maybe it's like, I got to save money, mom and dad. Sorry, I'm here for 5 years.
But then as a parent who has, you know, a 19-year-old and other teenagers coming up, Aaron and I had this conversation of like, what does it look like for us to say like, yeah, you can stay here and save money and else and whatever you need to do? Or what does it look like to be a parent to be like, hey, you got to get into the real world. Like this is like, you need to go out and find your way and you can't just be here mooching off of us. So parents are having to make hard decisions in this as well. You don't want to be a jerk to your kid, but you also are like, you can't stay here till you're 30. Like you need to get up and be an adult.
Well, the report did say that about 40% of those living from home do pay their parents rent, but that rent is maybe $500 or less, which compared to the national average, which is I think up to about $2,000 now. You know, you can live at home and you can save four times as much as someone living on their own.
And think about your food bill, your electric bill, all that stuff is going to be
right. And that was the key thing with the report. Because you're saving so much on rent, groceries, all the boring parts of being an adult, people living from home can actually spend more on the fun part of being an adult. So a lot of people are actually not necessarily just building up their savings. They're using it to travel. They're buying like some luxury goods, making life real nice at home.
Listen, if my kid who's 28, leeching off of me and eating all my food, comes home with the Louis Vuitton bag, he's out.
You got to go. I know. Yeah. That's what Aaron and I talk about, is it depends on what's their attitude towards living with you. If they're like, who cares? I'm going to throw down $500 to you parents, but I'm going to go out and live like the best life I've ever had. That's like a no from us. But if you're like, mom, dad, I'm saving up. I'm about to buy a house. I'm doing all these things. Thank you so much. Then you can stay here and pay us rent. Yeah.
See, my mama was petty. She was like, she was petty. She said, she told me this story. She said, you want to know how birds learn to fly? I was like, nah. She said, well, when you make the nest, there's like, you know, there's soft stuff on the top of it, but at the bottom of it, there's thorns. And as the birds get heavier, they get to sitting on those thorns and they want to hop out of the nest. They want to fly and go make their own nest. So she says, I'm going to make thorns in our home. So like when I came home from college, now imagine you coming home from college and it's like, man, I'm out kicking it, et cetera, et cetera. She's like, curfew was at 9 o'clock. She's like, if you're not back by 9 o'clock, don't even try to open the door. The door is locked.
Jared, this is the best thing I've heard all day. Oh my gosh. The thorns in the nest.
She was petty, but you know what? Like I came back home and like literally, I was like, nah, this ain't it. I was like, I'm gonna figure it out. I'm gone. I'll see you later. She was like, cool, I'll help you buy some furniture.
Also, like birds, in the middle of the night, she would come in and just poke him with a sharp stick while he slept.
When I came back from college, I had to work since I was 8. Since I was 12, I had to like earn money during the summer to buy my own school clothes. My parents were big on independence, support yourself, right? So I come back from college, which they did not pay for. And I was feeling out some jobs, trying to figure out what to do. I was home for about 4 weeks. And I remember one afternoon, I was floating in the pool. And my mom walked outside and she goes, if you're going to be in my house, you're going to be working. You can go down to Wendy's and get a job at Wendy's tomorrow. And if you aren't working tomorrow, you're out. She, after like 3 weeks, kicked me out. And I had to like, it forced me to hustle and I had to go start my career, you know? But none of this floating and leeching off of mom and dad.
Nah.
It's different now.
Yeah.
It's different. So funny to hear y'all say this because maybe I'm biased in this. I don't consider myself to be leeching off my parents. But maybe because I don't want to admit that I probably am. They might have a different perspective, but I won't ask them. But I mean, I get what you're saying.
Now we'd like to welcome Mr. and Mrs. Brown to the show. Come on in, guys.
Have you heard this thorn theory?
But you know, I think times are different, though. I think times were different. There wasn't a global pandemic. Inflation, I mean, it's like eggs aren't $7 for a dozen of them. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different now. So, like, when I read that stat officially, at first I'm like, oh, man, that's kind of crazy. But then I thought about it, I'm like, it's not so crazy. Like, when you really think about it, I mean, it's like, even if you have a job, I mean, you're moving to Nashville. You know what rent is in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Like, my house 8 years ago was worth half of what it's worth now, right? So, if I was a new home buyer, I mean, you gotta have some money to be able to live. Cars are expensive, everything's expensive. So I don't necessarily fault. I don't think this is just like kids are lazy. I think everyone's trying to figure this out.
Yeah, right? I mean, you bring up a good point, because like the last few weeks as I've been getting ready for my move, like truthfully, I haven't paid many bills in the last year because I've been traveling so much. But I forget that Wi-Fi is like, my gut is I want to go with the cheapest Wi-Fi, but I also need good Wi-Fi. So I have to pay more for that. And I have to pay for electricity mm-hmm. and water and all these things. Mm-hmm. And those bills can add up mm-hmm. really quickly. So especially mm-hmm. the last few weeks, it has been tempting to just maybe stay at my parents a little bit longer. But I'm also ready to have my mm-hmm. own place. So it's a little too late to back out now.
The thorns.
What are you, you're 27 now?
27, yes.
You're right in the sweet spot of finally moving out. Yeah. Half of people in 18 to 29.
I want to clarify. Yeah. I did live on my own for a couple years. And then I decided to have a crazy idea to travel. So
good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's a crazy idea. Yeah. I wish I thought of.
I know. Probably most people listening that are 10, you know, in about 10 years older, like, I wish I would have.
But think about it. The tech, she was gainfully employed working every day just from Paris and from Denver and whatever. No, we couldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm. That was an option.
10 years ago.
I know. Yeah. I've had so many people ask me how I made it happen. And the number one thing I say is, you got to talk to your boss, because I could not have done this. If Cameron said no, like, this last year wouldn't have happened. Not to put that pressure on you, but thanks, Cameron.
No problem. Thanks for going above and beyond, making sure that you didn't drop any balls. All right. What's the last thing?
The last thing is an update that has truly been years in the making, but we're excited to announce it. Mel Gibson is finally ready to film the sequel to The Passion of Christ. I'm excited to see the resurrection according to Mel Gibson. I think it's, I'll say it. I don't know if it's going to be biblically accurate, but it is going to be entertaining.
They start shooting this spring and The Passion of the Christ, you know, they shot for, what was it, 60 million and it's made 600 million or they shot
like
for 30
and
they made
the highest grossing R-rated movie ever.
Of all time still. And so Jim Caviezel was Jesus. This was like what, 2004, 2023 in the year of our Lord, 2023, Jim Caviezel still playing Jesus 20 years later. So this 60-year-old man is going to be supposedly a 32-year-old. So we'll see how it turns out. But
the modern wonders of medicine and makeup. There you go.
What is happening?
So he's. It starts when he's on the cross, goes down to hell to take the keys of hell, and then all the way to the resurrection. Like that's this one is like
no.
That's what Gibson said. That's what he's exploring.
Jesus is not going to hell
to fight the devil.
Is this a Marvel movie?
Right. Yes. It's going to be a Marvel movie.
Is Thanos in it?
I was going to say, not going to lie, sounds kind of awesome. Like, I
listen, Gibson's right,
I'm going to say something else. It's going to get me.
I'm interested.
Listen, the first one, kind of a drag. No one's rewatching that.
Dude, that's the truth.
Truly, you watch it once, you're good for life.
Guys, we watch it a lot around Easter at our house.
Are you serious?
You just fire it up, pop some popcorn. Yes.
I don't know how
family movie night. We're gonna watch the highest grossing R-rated film.
Let's watch torture. Y'all ready? Come on,
Jamie.
I've seen it like 5 times in my life, but I've seen it more than once.
I just saw it for the first time in 2020.
Do you like curl up on the couch with like a Afghan and
like what kind of like snack? What kind of snacks are y'all eating? Like, is it can't be like red licorice or anything like that?
No, she's got her big bowl of popcorn. She put some peanut M&Ms in it, and that's her Jesus getting tortured snack.
I'm not the only one that watches this again if it's the highest grossing movie, rated R movie ever. Okay,
no, that was when it came out in the theater. People saw it one time. Yeah, and then we're done.
It's like
I've seen it like 5 times since 2004. You guys,
it's like Schindler's List. Like, it's stuck with me. It's an important film, but I'm not firing it. Like, it's not like, oh man, it's Friday night after work. I think we're gonna pop in Schindler's List.
Schindler's List.
I know. Yo, sorry,
I can't do it, y'all.
Have you seen it once, Derek?
I'm talking about Schindler's List. Nah, Passion of the Christ. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay. Come on, you know, Passion of the Christ. Come on, nah.
We're saying it's a heavy movie. That's all.
Passion of the Christ. We're just saying it's a heavy movie. I can't watch. I can't watch is I can't watch Schindler's List. Like, Schindler's List is just on the do not watch.
It's heavy.
It's heavy.
Oh, you should
man.
Watch it. It's good.
Is it?
Double feature, Derek, Friday night.
Passion of the Christ and Schindler's List. This is family movie
night. When I was in Israel, I went to the Holocaust Museum.
Yeah.
And it was heavy. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I remember walking out of it being like, you know, very emotional. Yeah. Like, it was really rough.
Dude, but I've been to three of them. And by the time you're at the end of it, I'm just sitting there sobbing. It's just, it's unbelievably
it's emotional for sure.
Yeah.
Jamie, we've been doing this podcast for a while together, and occasionally you'll give me a look through the webcam. I feel like I've gotten a lot of them the last hour.
It's the mama look.
I'm not mad, but I am disappointed.
No, you guys know this. There's certain times in the show where I kind of get quiet. It's because I'm just like, I don't know where this is going to go, like, theologically. How am I going to get into some muddy water here? And, you know, I'm just like, if I don't say anything, then I'm not a part of it. I'm just here. I'm just a part of the party.
It's no record of me. If they put, like, this clip out there, I did not exist. Yeah,
I didn't say, I did not, I didn't wink. I just was here.
Just froze.
All right, so they start shooting. When's it going to come out, Emily? Did they say?
They haven't said yet. It depends on how long it takes to recreate hell. So
I'm going to guess they're shooting it this spring, they're going to shoot for Easter 2024. That'd be my guess.
That'd be a good release, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
You know what this reminds me of? There's a movie coming out called Cocaine Bear. Like, I feel like that this movie is going to be in the same vein of that, where it's just like, it's
like the Christian Cocaine Bear.
Yes, that's what I feel like. I'm like, there's no way.
How is this the Christian serious. Cocaine Bear?
I don't even know what Cocaine Bear is. You're filming
God going to hell, having a battle with the devil. And it's going to be with CGI. That's how. It's like that. Yes.
No CGI. It's all real.
You know what? You know. Remember the Martin Scorsese gangster movie where he de-aged Robert De Niro? It's The Irishman on Netflix. Shot these guys in their 70s, but they were telling a story that started in the 50s. So they de-aged them and then aged them up to the current digitally. That's what he's going to have to do with Jim Caviezel to make him look like a 32-year-old Jesus.
This man is 60s.
This is Cocaine Bear. This is like, if you don't want to watch Cocaine Bear, here's the Christian version of it. Like, this, you know what I mean? This is what it is. Like, I can't.
That's actually
do it.
The tagline.
Who's the Cocaine Bear in this scenario? Is it Satan? Is Satan the Cocaine Bear?
Bear is the director. It's like, whoever came up with this idea, like, this is the craziness of it. Like, I don't want no part two to Passion of the Christ. We living in part two right now. We wait on Christ to come back at this present moment. I don't need to, like, just look, man, just. Look, I know you ran up the bag, Mel. You ran it up, bro. Look, you got the number one grossing rated R movie. You ran it up, bro. But you gotta leave the casino, bro, with your money in your hand, man. You can't come back to the casino and double down.
Okay, so you're worried about being like Cocaine Bear. Here's my worry. My worry is, like, Christians already, like, people think we're crazy and all the things. And then what's going to happen in this movie? What's he going to portray? What's he going to say? What's going to be true? What's going to be false? What's going to be like... This is really up for debate, but now everyone's going to think this is real.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, this is going to be loony, Jamie. I'm like I'm
even
worried.
The fact of you saying like he's going to film like Jesus going down to hell. That's a debated theological thing. Like, where was Jesus in those things? That's nope. You can talk to five people and get five different answers.
Yeah, I'm on the side of, I don't believe that Jesus went to hell. Like, I don't believe that that's what that scripture means. So I'm like, for me, I'm like, I don't want to go and watch a movie and Jesus slide down the hill and fighting the devil. Like, I just,
not gonna lie.
I'd watch it.
I don't know what I believe about it, but I would watch it. Yeah.
No, I don't want, reminds me of the video game where you go around and do the healings and stuff like that. Like, that's what, it's trivialized to me in this way. Like, it's like the Be Jesus video game. Like, that's what it reminds me.
Who did the Noah movie? Darren Aronofsky or something like that?
Right. Yeah, Aronofsky.
Yeah, Aronofsky. And he talked about, because, like, there's a whole lot of creative license in that movie, like the rock monsters and stuff like that, which Jesse has convinced me are biblically accurate. But at the time, I thought they were just sci-fi. And I was like, what's this guy adding that stuff to this? This is bizarre. And he said in an interview, he's like, listen, I'm doing a 2-hour movie based on one paragraph of content.
Exactly.
Like, I'm filling in the gaps. So, you know, that's what's going to happen here. So you're worried that here's just a few verses of post death on the cross leading up to the resurrection. And he's going to do a 2-hour movie, fill in the gaps in a way that makes us look like a Looney Tunes and, you know, does more harm than good is what you're worried about.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm worried about. But I mean, I worried about that when The Chosen came out with Dallas Jenkins. And I think he's done a phenomenal job of filling in like stuff that might not be in scripture. You know, he's done a great job with The Chosen. But Dallas Jenkins and Mel Gibson are two different people to me.
Very different.
You know. But
they gonna have lasers shooting out Jesus' eyes when he ain't fighting the devil and some other stuff, bro. Wolverine gonna be down there.
Okay, I'm okay with laser Jesus. Bro.
He go Jesus gonna be teleporting like Nightcrawler, like
just out of sheer curiosity. You're not gonna be like, I definitely have to see what this is about. Like
who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna watch it.
I'm not watching it, bro. You know what? I only way I'll watch it is if I can watch it with you and Cameron. That's why
we watched Left Behind. Me and Jesse and stuff went to the theater together to watch it together because it was so ridiculous.
If we watch it as a crew, I will go watch it. That would
I'll
be
fly to Orlando. I fly to Nashville.
Let's do it.
We have to watch it as a crew. That's all the only way I'm doing.
Done. I was going to make a Jay Leno joke, but I feel like Jimmy Fallon has taken the crown of just the worst jokes on late night TV, you know? And have you guys noticed how bad his jokes are? But I almost made the joke, Cameron, when you were like, so they have to recreate hell. And I was like, oh, so recreate hell. So they're going to film at the Southwest ticket counter. We got a great show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. First off, The Roots.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's basically the level we're talking now.
I'm sorry. It's not that bad, is it, bro?
It's bad. Have you guys watched Fallon lately? It's bad.
I don't have live TV anymore, so I can't. I can just watch the IG clips. And he is not going to put the duds on IG, so... To me, he's batting 1,000. Anyway. All right. Thanks, Emily. There's a lot more where that came from. Go check out relevantmagazine.com every day where we're covering the intersection of faith, culture, justice, and a bunch of stuff. And all the crazy AI, the world's going to turn into Terminator world stuff. We're covering that too. All right. Thanks, Emily.
Thanks, y'all. Bye.
All right. Stay tuned. Up next, Red Rocks Worship joins us. Listening to Astral Weeks. The song is This World.
Well, today's show is brought to you in part by Crown College, a boldly Christian and academically excellent college providing a lifelong, authentic community. Crown offers on-campus, online, and graduate programs, 18 NCAA Division III sports, international service opportunities, and a vibrant student life. Discover why Crown College is ranked top 3 in America for online Christian education. Visit crown.edu today.
Where our guests today are Tyler Roberts and Corey Miller from Red Rocks Worship. They're a worship team based at Red Rocks Church in Denver, Colorado, and we're big fans. They're coming up big. They sat down with Emily to discuss their upcoming album, how humility is key to their ministry, and why their focus is on the local church. Here's our conversation with Red Rocks Worship.
I'm always curious, like, where do you find inspiration for worship songs?
Oh, man. I think, like, the main source is the word, right? I mean, it's like there's this endless... A lot of it is already so poetic, so it's like there's a lot of great starting ground there. And then I think another spot is... You know, we're fortunate to work at a church in Denver, Colorado, and there's just life change happening every weekend, and it's impossible not to go in the lobby and meet people that they're either going through the hardest thing they've ever gone through or celebrating victory in one of the hardest things they've gone through, or devastated and in disappointment. And so it's hard not to be moved in your heart. when you're just week by week meeting these people. And so I think that's the two main places of inspiration.
What is it like to work with such a big team to like collaborate on a worship album? Like, how does that work exactly?
A dumpster fire. So Emily, it's a dumpster fire, and we're constantly drowning.
Oh my gosh! You know, it's really a blessing, because the truth is, it is hard. There's a lot of opinions, and we're all leaders, and so there's a lot of opinions and strong opinions, and honestly, if any one of them were the leader, like the one calling all the shots, it would be awesome, because they're really great. But that said, we also get to just like bounce all the songs and all the ideas off of each other. We get to try them at multiple campuses. So like a song that Corey and I write, excuse me, that's awesome. We think it's going to go great because we were part of writing it. Awesome. We're excited. But also the Arvada campus gets to try it too. And they might, if they tell us this song doesn't work, then we should probably listen. If they tell us, dude, that song, it hit on Sunday and it's working, we should be listening to what they're saying, you know? So it's a blessing to get to work with such a big team. You know, really helpful is putting people in the right lanes, right? So we're all worship leaders, but every single one of us, the Lord has just kind of put this team together in such a beautiful way that we all have giftings that are a little bit different than each person on the team. And so as we've kind of grown and we've been through the ringer and through the fire to figure this out, at least for right now, we've kind of learned like, hey, you run best in this lane, you run best in this lane. So then you just start to bend your ear to the people who are running in those lanes the best, right? Because, you know, Corey's a fantastic rider, top-notch rider. Well, if he's feeling great about something, I'm going to listen. When we're talking about riding something, I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen. But we have others on our team that are like incredible vocalists who don't only just hear the melody, but they hear all the harmonies, and they hear, that's not me at all. So I'm going to bend my ear to them. What are they saying? And as we kind of figure these things out, I think it's put together this beautiful process, but also a beautiful project.
Father, we're on our knees with every heartbeat. We bring you this offering.
You know, you talked about like kind of the lessons that you've learned over the years. For someone that's maybe just starting out, what would be like the one thing you would want to tell them who's like someone who's just getting started in the, like, their worship leader career?
I haven't conquered it officially. I haven't like gotten to a place where I just don't deal with this anymore. And I've been leading worship since I was 16 years old. But this idea that like you have to perform for anybody else other than the Lord, it's just, it will get you nowhere except for a lot of anxiety, but striving for things that you don't need to be striving for, putting pressure on yourself that you don't need to be putting pressure. But the one thing I would say is, hey, you're not leading worship for anybody. You're not performing for anybody else in that room other than the Lord. And that sounds so great. I understand that should be on a t-shirt. But when you really, one of the things I do almost every single time I step, every service, I did it yesterday, every service, I'm stepping out of worry and I'm stepping into faith. And it's just a one little step that I take. I'm already on stage, but I just take it. Nobody sees me do it. But in that moment, it's like I'm stepping out of trying to perform for my lead pastor who's on the front row, or my wife who's over there, or so-and-so from whatever label is in town. I don't know, like whatever. I'm getting out of that and I'm putting my eyes on Jesus where they need to be. And it's funny because when you do that, the Holy Spirit is just like this explosive power. He just does whatever he wants to do. And the whole room can feel it. The whole room can sense it. And it's incredible. So don't perform for anybody else, man. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Don't even perform for you. Perform for the Lord.
I'll worship you. I'll worship you. Always.
Make that your cry tonight. Come on.
That was Red Rocks Worship. Make sure to go check them out wherever you get your music. It's good stuff. All right, stay tuned up next. It's your feedback.
Now all the memories are turning to a mantra.
listening to India Theariot. I think I'm right with that, Theariot. The song is Montage. Okay, it's time for your feedback. Last week, we got talking about making memories. I was at New Year's Eve in New York, and we got talking about the fact that there's people who started standing there at 9 a.m. At 9 a.m., I saw the line going around multiple blocks, you know, to get into Times Square, which means they were standing there for 15 hours plus, and there's no public bathrooms. It was absolutely said there will be no bathrooms available. So people had to wear diapers. That's the people on TV that you saw celebrating and kissing at midnight had full diapers in their pants. Just FYI. Just keep that in mind.
Just
so we asked
in
you
the, new year the right way. The soiled pants.
With a rash. With diaper rash. All right. So we asked you, what would be such an epic event that you would actually willingly wear a diaper to experience it? You hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast and here's some of our favorites.
Matt said, I'm not sure if you might need one if you plan on sitting through the new Avatar. It is a very long movie. I did see it. Let me say this. Once the whales get involved, you got about 20 minutes where you're free to go. Like, that's basically... When they start swimming with the whales, that's your intermission. You're not really missing anything.
I heard just there's a solid hour there of just kind of like swimming around, and then it's a good final hour. That's what I heard.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it from top to bottom.
There's first act, and the second act, and you can affirm this, Derek, is pretty much swimming with whales. Third act is an awesome battle scene. But anywhere when the whales make an appearance, like I said, you're good for a solid 25 minutes, half hour to just go stretch your legs out in the lobby.
For sure. Hey,
maybe Mel Gibson saw that final battle scene and got inspired to finally do Passion of the Christ 2. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I can do one of those.
So wrong. Is this going to be like the JCU, the Jesus Christ Cinematic Universe?
We're going to do
a Paul movie. Is
it going to be like an end credit scene like after it closes?
I want to see somebody take on Revelation. I'm going to see somebody take on...
I don't.
I've got a great series of films that I can recommend to you.
Yeah. What?
What?
They star Kurt Cameron. Left Behind. And
I want some movie, somewhere, sometime to do a biblically accurate angel. They were balls of light covered in eyeballs. They were terrifying, which is why every time they appeared to somebody, they said, "Be not afraid." Like, we know we're terrifying. And everybody's like, "I'm just like a white thing with wings." And no, that's not terrifying. They wouldn't have said, "Don't be afraid." They're terrifying. I want somebody to depict an angel the right way.
There is a movie, and Cameron, we watched it during that Nick Cage marathon. Now, I know we were both in the throes of delirium at the time. But there's a Nick Cage movie called Knowing, which I think we queued up when we were doing 24 hours of Nick Cage at around 4:30 a.m. Yeah. But there is a depiction of like the Ezekiel like spaceship wheels upon wheels thing.
That's right.
Where he gets prophetic visitors who are, you know, the film's interpretation of angels who warn him about a coming apocalypse. Do you remember that? That was the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
And their mode of transportation was like the Ezekiel thing. That was actually one of the more underrated Nick Cage films that we watched that evening. You know, I've thought about that movie. I'll see if I can find an image and send it to you guys. But that one actually did not too bad of a job of depicting something sort of like biblical angels.
Kevin said a Nick Cage 24-hour movie watching marathon. So did you guys wear diapers in your 24-hour Nick Cage
movie
marathon?
No, there was a bathroom conveniently located next to where we were watching it. We just would go get a snack, go to the bathroom if we needed to.
I'll be honest. I didn't need to use the restroom at all because every calorie or thing that I consumed leading up to it and during, it took just so much energy to watch Nicolas Cage from that time.
You were burning calories. It's like you're running a marathon.
Your body's working at maximum efficiency here, okay? There's no need.
Sarah said, "What struck me while listening this week is how many people propose at midnight wearing diapers. Romantic indeed. I mean... Yeah. That dude will go to all lengths.
Just imagine what's really going on. What's really going on when they're the ball drops. Yeah.
So, Noah Hodge says a Black Friday sale at Taco Bell. And I need to address something. A couple shows ago.
Bring it. Mm-hmm. Please do this.
Jesse told me.
Please do this.
Jesse told me for lunch, I need to go to Taco Bell. Well, guess what? I took my kids to the aquarium in Chattanooga and I had to charge my new Tesla and it was in a Taco Bell parking lot. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna go to Taco Bell because my friend who loves me a lot suggested this and I really trust him
deeply.
And I went in and I got the thing you told me to get, the Dorito Locos Taco.
Oh my
And
gosh.
I think that I'll never trust you again. I think
you know a person in life.
I think that this has shifted our relationship.
The irony is when Derek texted me that, I was 2 hours removed from a fantastic Taco Bell lunch. Real talk. I used one of these. I got several for Christmas. I'm showing the team Taco Bell gift card. People who, you know, in the know will slide in my way come the holidays. Okay. This is better than money because I have to spend it at Taco Bell. So it's an excuse. If you could say you want cold hard cash or you want Taco Bell bucks, I'm running for the border. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Live moss, guys.
You know what? And y'all know me. I'm a businessman. So, you know, mm-hmm. I try not to, but I ate Taco Bell and Abuela down the street who I get my tacos from at the food truck. That she don't speak any English, but I just call her Abuela. That's the only way we connect. She would be extremely disappointed with me.
Yes, she would.
Is that the reason you didn't like him? Because I bet Abuela's not making her tacos with Doritos for shells, is she?
Of course she's not.
Listen, bro. I did not like them because I didn't know what kind of meat was in my taco.
Exactly
it's
right.
It's supposed to be ground beef.
Right.
But I'm not sure.
Right.
Because I've never tasted ground beef
like this.
It's
ground beef. They spell it with three E's for legal reasons, but just trust me. It's ground beef. Beef.
I'm like, dog.
Just as good.
Jesse, you are banned from food suggestions, like, for life.
You know, Derek, we've known this for a long time, and you're finding out firsthand. He eats like a six-year-old.
Yes,
still,
he does.
It's true.
Still,
all of the women who are 35 and older are just this. This makes us so angry that you can eat like a 6 year old. I've never seen you in person. I only see you actually from the torso up, but I'm believing that you're fit.
He's an Adonis.
And you eat like a 6 year old.
He's ripped.
Yeah, he's ripped and he eats like a 6 year old. Yes. Gotcha. Me, I have one taco and it's going to take about 6 weeks for me to get rid of that BEEF in my body.
Dude,
okay.
So I'll eat Taco Bell for breakfast. I've literally recently had Taco Bell numerous times for breakfast. They have a great little egg situation.
Is it three G's? Is it three G's on the egg?
Yeah. Here's what I want to see. Derek, you mentioned because you had like an artisan taco truck. I want to see like a chef's table. Where it's like a chef at Taco Bell. You know how there's like in Chef's Table, like all these dramatic music playing and they're walking through fields. I want to see one where that same string music and they have like that like caulk gun of like refried beans. It's just like, you know, the beans are perfect when it's the right consistency. And you just see them load up that caulk gun right in front of a tortilla. It's like, he's got the big vat of meat, you know. He's stirring.
Nah, bro.
Gross, bro.
Listen, man. Even my kids, bro. I got them some chips and some cheese. I don't know if I'm raising bougie kids.
You are raising bougie kids. If they can't appreciate the simple joy of Taco Bell hot nacho cheese, again, there's three E's, but just go with it.
Nolan walks out and says, "Dad, that wasn't too good, Dad."
His 10-year-old has a more refined palate than Jesse.
Legally, like, they have to spell their cheese with three E's and a Z just so that you're certain that this is not the dairy product that we
yellow substance.
Cheese.
Yeah.
Cheese.
Nah, bro.
All right. Well, there's more feedback where that came from. Go check out our mentions at Relevant Podcast on Twitter. Okay, it's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
So earlier in the show, we got talking a lot about ChatGPT and AI and writing stuff. So we're going to blend it. You have an assignment this week, everybody. What we want you to do is go over to ChatGPT. It's open.ai. If you haven't signed up, sign up. By the way, did you hear their server costs are costing that company $3 million a day because of the computation costs?
I bet. What?
And it's making no money right now. $3 million a day they're spending just on that, not even staff. Anyway, okay, so go over to ChatGPT, and what we want you, here's your assignment. What we want you to do is
ask it for the synopsis and name of a sequel movie to any Christian movie. You come up with a Christian movie and tell ChatGPT to come up with a sequel name and synopsis. Tweet it at us at Relevant Podcasts, and we will read our favorites next week. So Christian movie sequel ideas and names. There you go, from AI. Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Red Rocks Worship for joining us today. Make sure to go check out their music wherever you get your music. It's good stuff. And make sure to keep an eye out for their upcoming new album. Also, if you, speaking of music, if you haven't gone over to Spotify and subscribe to our Heard on the Relevant Podcast playlist yet, you should. We also have an indie playlist, worship playlist, hip hop playlist that we update pretty regularly. We do the podcast one every week, a few times a month for the other ones, but you should go check it out. It's good listens. Also, make sure to check out relevantmagazine.com every day, where we're publishing, you know, I don't know, 8-10 things, like covering the intersection of faith, life, culture, justice, what's going on. Make sure to follow us on all the socials as well. You know, stay in touch. If you don't want to follow us on the socials, but you do want to stay in touch, make sure to click right there on the sidebar on that website and sign up for our newsletter, where we send you our top 5 trending stories every weekday morning. Okay, on that note, we'll wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Jamie Ivey.
And I am doing a listening party tour. So here's the deal. I got an album that's dropping very, very soon. And I'm looking to travel the U.S. and play the album before it comes out. All you have to do is make sure that there's 50 or more people in the room. And you can donate whatever you feel like you can donate. And I'm going to try to get to as many people as I can to play this album, because I really feel like it's extremely important.
When does it kick off, Derek?
I'm actually going to be traveling from February on up until the album releases out. So you can go to DerekMiner.com/focus group.
Nice, dude.
And let me know if you want me to come and play my new album. Killer, I'm excited, man, to do it. Yay.
Awesome. Congrats.
All right. Yeah, man. We'll see you guys on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
Live Moss, guys.
Relevant Podcast Network.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.